You know, there are some people that look at the Christian life as a bunch of have-tos. I have to go to church. I have to go to worship. I have to sing. I have to give. I have to live a certain way. I have to talk a certain way. I have to do certain things. And if that's you this morning, can I suggest to you that that is a very limiting way to look at the Christian life. That's a very burdensome way to look at the Christian life. That is a very unfun way to look at being a Christian. Are there things you have to do as a Christian? Sure, okay. You can say, okay, I have to do them. But what about this? What about looking at those things that God wants me to do and saying, well, I'm not going to say I have to do them. What about I want to do them? Here's what God has commanded me to do. And, you know, it's not that I have to do it. I want to do it. And somebody says, well, why would you ever take that sort of mentality? I take that because I want God to know how much I love Him. Because I want to show God how thankful I am. I should be. Show God how thankful I am for all that He has done for me. Are you a have-to Christian? Or are you a want-to Christian? As Christians, we are blessed. Blessed with opportunities to do good. Blessed with opportunities to serve our God. Blessed with opportunities to honor Him. And we need to see that. In fact, the Bible often says that we are blessed. That these things we are able to do for the Lord, that we are blessed to be able to do them. But do you know that there's something in the Bible that we do as Christians, that the Bible doesn't just say that we're blessed. It's not just something that's blessed to do. Do you know there's something in the Bible that it says that it is more blessed to do this than it is to do a lot of other things? You know what I'm talking about? In Acts chapter 20 and verse 35... Apostle Paul said, it's more blessed, quoting Jesus, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And somebody says, do you have to give? Well, I have to give. But what about I want to give? Not that I have to do something, but to look at that statement made by the Lord in Acts 20 and verse 35, it's more blessed. It's blessed to serve and honor God, but there's part of serving and honoring God that's more blessed than any other part. So this morning, I want us to talk about that more blessed part of serving God. I want us to talk about a more blessed part of worship. And as soon as some people know we're talking about this topic, as soon as they hear we're talking about giving, there's just some little trigger that goes off inside and says, oh, no, 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 that's not what I want to hear about. Do I have to give to God? We're going to talk about it this morning. But instead of looking at it as a have to, what if I looked at what God wants me to do as a want to? A want to so that I can show God how much I love Him. I want to so that I can show God how thankful I am for what He has done for me. Do I have to do it? Sure. But God says, don't do it grudgingly. Don't do it of necessity. Because God loves it when I want to do it. God loves a cheerful giver. This morning I want us to look at two main points. We're going to look at the obligation to give. Because it is. But then in the second place, we're going to look at the specifications that God has given us to give. And I want to invite you to get your Bibles out and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And we're going to spend some time looking at these first two verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and allow the Bible to do some teaching to us this morning. And it's the first thing we look at today is just to see that there is in the Bible an obligation from God to give. When we open our Bibles and begin reading through it, we find that actually giving to God, when it's done according to His commandments, giving to God is an act of worship. If you go back and look at the animal sacrifices that the Jews made in the Old Testament, In Numbers 18 and verse 11 and Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 1, both of those texts call these animal sacrifices that they were offering to God, it calls them gifts. They were giving to God and it was worship. Their gifts were worship. When those magi, when those wise men came to find young Jesus, not baby Jesus, in Matthew chapter 2, He's as old as 2 years of age. He's not still back in a baby stage and in a newborn stage. He's nearly 2 years old. But when those wise men come, in Matthew 2 and verse 11, it says they come to worship this young child. But what do? They bring gifts as a part of their worship. Giving is an act of worship. When Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in Philippians 4 and verse 18, he talked about their gift that they had given. And he said, it is a sweet-smelling aroma. It is an acceptable sacrifice, not to Paul. He said at the end of verse 18, it is well-pleasing to God. In their worship, they had given a gift, and it was an act of worship to their God. Giving's an act of worship, but in that act of worship, we also need to see that this act of worship is a command of God. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia. What does that sound like? This is a command of God. Maybe your translation says, as I've given directives. The word that is used there is the word for a command. That Paul says, I have given a command from God, a command to give in your worship assemblies. It's a command of God. But it's not just, some look at 1 Corinthians 16 and say, well, it was just a command for the church at Corinth. Well, what does he say? As I've given orders to the churches, not one congregation in Galatia, congregations plural in Galatia, so I, what does he say at the end of verse 1? So I do as I've given order to them, so you must do also. Must do is a Greek imperative. It is a command. It is not a suggestion. It is not an idea. He says, as I've commanded them to give, I am commanding you to give. Giving in our worship is an obligation. It's an obligation that each of us share equally, each of us share a responsibility in giving in our worship. Do I have to do it? I just have to do it, don't I? I come to this text and it says giving is a commandment, so I have to do it. Can I challenge you to look at giving not as something that you have to do, but as something that you want to do, to truly see it as a thrilling blessing to give to God. It is more blessed to give. Do we believe that? John chapter 3 and verse 16, you know the verse, right? God so loved the world that He, what's the verb? God loved you so much, what did He do? He gave. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, it says about Jesus, He loved us and gave Himself for us. God loved, and what did He do? He gave. Jesus loved, and what did He do? He gave. What about me? Do I really have to be commanded to give to God? I mean, I am. I am commanded to give to God, but do I have to be? Was God commanded to give to me? Or did He just want to? Giving is an act of worship. It's an act of worship that we're commanded to do. It's an act of worship that we each have an individual responsibility to fulfill. Look in verse 2. In verse 2, he says on the first day of the week, who is this being addressed to? Let each one of you. Which Christians are responsible for giving? The ones who have a lot? Which Christians are responsible for giving? The top 1%? Which Christians are responsible for giving? Let each one of you. Husbands and wives, Who's responsible for giving? Yes, both of them are. Doesn't mean they have to give separate things into the basket, but both of their incomes, both husband and wife, need to be a part of that giving. What about young people? What about young people who have an allowance, who have a part-time job? Which Christians are responsible for giving? Verse 2 says, let each one of you, we each have a responsibility to the work of God. And so we don't need to see this responsibility, again, as something that I've just got to do. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul talks about this act of worship. He calls it a grace. At least three times, maybe it's four, at least three times in the first seven verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he calls giving a grace of giving. Why does he call it that? Because being able to give to God, it's a gift. It's a treasure. Something that I ought to want to do. And then in the very next verse, starting in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he says, I'm writing these things to you as a test of your love. My giving to God is an expression of my devotion, of my love to my God. When I come to worship, giving's an act of worship, and I obey the command of God and I give to Him, I'm showing God, here's how much I love you. God showed us how much He loved us by giving His Son. Jesus showed us how much He loves us by giving His life. How much do I show I love God? What does He see? Both in what I give, but more importantly, my heart. But in this text, we not only learn about the obligation to give. In this text, we also see the specifications that are involved in giving. I have to give. I'm commanded to give. But God in this text gives five specifications, five things that we need to know about how are we to give. Now, what I want us to see in these specifications is that 1 Corinthians chapter 16, these specifications that are being used are not talking about my charitableness to nonprofit organizations. It's not talking about whether I give something to someone at work who is in need. It's not talking about my writing a check to some organization that is helping individuals out who are in need. This is talking about a very specific giving. God's not saying don't give in other realms of your life, but 1 Corinthians 16 is focused on a very specific part of our giving. How do we know? Look at the text. The text gives us specifics. The first specific it gives us is that it talks about a specified time that we are to give. What does he say in verse 2? Verse 2 says, on the first day, New King James says, on the first day of the week. New American Standard more accurately says, on the first day of every week. The Greek word kata is in the verse. On the first day of every week I am to give. So this isn't just giving in general. This is a specific giving that God has in mind, and He says, this is something I am to do every week. He says, I'm to do it once a week. And He tells me the day of the week that I am to do this. Well, what if I get paid every other week? God says, I need to give every week. What if I get paid once a month? God says, I need to give every week. And so as we would lay out those things that we need to take care of financially, here is something that God has said needs to be at the top of our priority list. And that I need to give unto Him every first day of the week and a plan to do that. The second specification here is that not only does God specify the time, God specifies the place. Somebody says, how do you see in this text that God specifies the place? Well, ask the question. Why does God say on the first day of the week? Why did He pick the first day of the week? Why didn't He say second day of the week? Why didn't He say the last day of the week? You're going to get paid on the last day. You're going to get paid at the end of the week. All right, then give at the end of the week after you get paid. Why did God specify the first day of the week? Because it was on the first day of the week that the church was assembling together to worship God. And when the church came together, Acts 20 and verse 7, and Acts 2 and verse 42, when the church was coming together, assembling together on the first day of the week, God says that as a part of that specified time, that is the specified place that God wants us to give. But there's more in this text that talks about it being the specified place. The New King James says, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside. I think is it the King James or the Old American Standard, or maybe both of them, that you don't say lay something aside, but say to lay it by in store. What does that mean? Lay it by in store. In fact, some people talk about their contribution and they call it their lay-by. That this is something that they have laid by to give unto God. But some translations here say, and it's not an accurate translation. Some translations say to lay it by or save it at home. The word home is not in this verse. The word home is not in the original. Paul is not telling them to save it at home. In fact, the lay it by in store, in the Greek, it literally means put it into the treasury. That's what the text literally means. You got the word there for treasury. And God says on the first day of the week, here's the place when you are gathered together, you lay by something, you give something that might be able to be put into the common treasury. This isn't laying something by in your closet. It's not storing something in your mattress and saving it for later. Some people have taken that text to mean that. If that's what it meant, then that would totally be against what Paul was saying at the end of the verse. Because Paul said, when I get there, I don't want there to be any collections when I come. I want this to be ready to go so that I can take it to Jerusalem. Well, if he's got to go to every person's house who's laid it by it and saved it at home, it defeats the purpose of the second part of the verse. He's talking about something that happens on a specified day, first day of the week, at a specified place when they came together. What's interesting, when you read through the New Testament and you come across verses like Romans chapter 15 and verse 26, that in the English uses the word contribution. In fact, Romans 15, 26, kind of a parallel with this text in 1 Corinthians 16. Romans 15, verse 26, you have the word contribution. It's a word that we use today to talk about that avenue of worship. We talk about our contribution. The Greek word for the word contribution, and I don't want to overwhelm with Greek words, but I want you to think about this word. The Greek word for the word contribution is the word koinonia. You may not be familiar with that Greek word koinonia. It's translated contribution in Romans chapter 15, verse 26. Nearly every other time that Greek word is in the New Testament, it is translated as fellowship. In Acts chapter 2, they continued steadfastly, verse 42, in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread and prayers, and in fellowship. That word fellowship there is the Greek word koinonia, which is the same word that's used for contribution over in Romans chapter 15, verse 26. What does that tell us? That tells us that the contribution, God has designed the contribution to have a fellowship aspect to it. The word koinonia means fellowship. It means joint participation. There is a togetherness intended by that word. What does that mean? That means when God is talking about the contribution, when God is talking about giving on the first day of the week when the church is assembled together, He's not talking about something that I do individually at home and saving something in my piggy bank. He's talking about something that we do together. He's talking about something the church does in fellowship with one another when they have gathered together to worship. That is a key element to understand. Not only about worship, but a key element to understand about the contribution, about our giving to God. And we're going to come back in just a moment and talk about that. But there's specifications, specified time, first day of the week, specified place when the church is gathered together. God in this text gives a specified purpose. Why in the world is God calling upon individual Christians to give? Well, when Paul is writing this, he's talking in verse 1 about the collection for the saints. And when you compare this again with that parallel text over in Romans chapter 15 and verse 26, this was especially a collection that was being made for those who were in need. for those Christians who were in need in the city of Jerusalem. Here's an interesting point, and that is these Gentile Christians that Paul's writing to and visiting, Paul is taking up money from the Gentile Christians to go and help the Jewish Christians who are in need. What does that show you about the oneness of the body of Christ? But the purpose here, specifically in this text, that he's mentioning is about money that's being needed for those who are in need. But that's not the only reason. That's not the only reason that the church on the first day of the week gives. We mentioned Philippians chapter 4 earlier, but here we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. If you were to back up into 1 Corinthians chapter 9, before Paul ever in chapter 16 talked about giving for those who are in need, in chapter 9 he talked about giving for the spreading of the gospel. Giving in order that those who are spreading the gospel might be supported. And that's why Paul had received that gift from the church at Philippi when he's in prison in Rome, so that they could help with the spreading of the gospel. And so the purpose of this giving on the first day of the week when the church is assembled together, the purpose of it is so that all of us can be a part of supporting the work of the church. Whether that work is evangelism, spreading the gospel, edification, building up the church, or benevolence, helping those who are in need. Those are the three areas of work that the New Testament specifies for the church. And notice that this is the only authorized method that God specifies for the work of the church to be done. There's no authority in Scripture for us to have a bingo night and raise some funds through bingo night to support the work of the church. That's not the way the Bible. There's no support in the Scripture for us to sell raffle tickets so that we can raise money to support a missionary. The only authorized method that the New Testament gives for supporting and furthering the work of the church is the giving on the first day of the week when we all come together. A fourth specificity that we see in this text is that there is a specified proportion that we are to give. What does verse 2 say? On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, lay it by in store, put it in the treasury, storing up as he may prosper. In other texts of the Bible, God talks about each person giving according to his ability. It's interesting, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, there were some who were not only giving according to their ability. Think about this for a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. There were people who were not only giving according to their ability. They were not only giving as they were prospered, but you know what it says? They were giving beyond their ability to give. That's the only example we have in the Bible, an authorized example in the Bible of anyone giving differently than according to their ability to give is when they gave more than their ability to give. God never addresses or approves of those who would give less than their ability to give. God looks at us and He says we all prosper in different ways. We all prosper to different levels. But this text specifies that as we have prospered, we are to give. The more God gives to me, the more I want to give to God. The more I can give to God. And so the Bible uses the word liberally or liberality to talk about how we should want to give to God. The Bible uses the word cheerfully to talk about how we should want to give to God. Can I challenge your thoughts for just a moment? As we think about giving as we have prospered, as we think about giving according to our abilities, we think about giving liberally. You know, in the New Testament, God does not specify a percentage which Christians are to give. And sometimes Christians say, hallelujah, He didn't tell me how much I had to give. Because you know in the Old Testament He did. You don't read the word tithe in the New Testament, do you? You read the word tithe in the Old Testament because the word tithe means a tenth. God did command a tenth in the Old Testament, but you get to the New Testament and God doesn't command a percentage. And so Christians say, yes, I'm not commanded to give 10%. I don't have to give 10%. Can I challenge your thoughts for just a second? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 compares the new covenant and the old covenant. And it calls the old covenant inferior and it calls the new covenant superior because it was bought by the blood of Jesus. If I'm living under a superior covenant, can I give less than they gave in that inferior covenant? If the smallest level, the smallest percentage God ever called upon His people to give was 10%, can I give less than that? I understand God doesn't command us a percentage, but I'm just challenging your thinking this morning about how much we give. This isn't a preacher trying to get into your checkbook or into your bank account and to mess around. It's a Christian just talking to fellow Christians to say, we're living in a day and age where we are blessed beyond what we deserve. Not just financially, forget that. We're living in the Christian age where we were blessed with forgiveness and salvation beyond what we deserve. How much do I give? God specifies that I need to give as I have prospered. But a fifth specification that we see, especially when we get over 2 Corinthians, and we see it throughout the scriptures, it talks about giving, but we see especially over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and that is that just God specifies a process. And over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, He says we are to give as we have purposed in our heart. And all that means is that we are to give as we have planned to give. We are to give as we have predetermined to give. And so in our worship, well, I already put my check in the basket, but we're going to pretend this is a check. In our worship, we place something in the basket. And the Bible says that is an act of worship. I have brought my gift to worship, and in this act of worship, I'm giving to God, and this is my gift. But God says there's a process that comes before this act of dropping something in a basket. He says there's something that precedes that. And that is, what have I purposed in my heart? What have I planned to put in the basket when I get to worship? What have I planned and predetermined to give to God? That is just as essential and just as important as the act itself. That's the following through. This is the planning to do it. And so before I ever get to worship, it's not that I just need to pull it out real quick after the prayer for the contribution. Say, okay, well, how much can I do today? I need to plan. I need to purpose my heart. I need to talk to God about it. Pray about it. God, I want to give to You. The Bible calls this a more blessed honor in serving our Lord. The Bible gives us the obligation. The Bible gives us the specifications. But for just a few minutes, I want to talk to you this morning about an application of our giving and worship. And I want to talk about options that we have in giving. And to share with you some information from the elders that I think will be of great interest to some of you. Obviously, when we come together to worship, there are many of us who give by means of cash. We come together to worship, and there are some of us who give by means of a personal check that we have written out and we give to the church. The elders have been talking for some time and trying to find a way to make sure that they could incorporate this next avenue, but incorporate it in a way that is according to God's Word and not just do something to do it, but to make sure that we can follow God's prescribed manner of giving. And so the elders are beginning this week going to add the option for those who would like to give by electronic means. And some of you just said amen to that. Some of you have been looking forward to the time when you could give electronically. Some of you just heard that and you thought, what's going on with this liberal church? Wait a second. I thought I knew the elders better than that. all of a sudden they're going to let people give by electronic means? Well, what's going on? What's going on around us? What's going on in the world that we live in? We are living in a day and age where we're moving away from writing checks to electronic transactions. For all of you, well, let me say, for 98% of you, how many checks are you writing today versus how many you wrote 10 years ago? I mean, how many checks today versus 20 years ago? For most of you, it's a lot fewer checks than what you used to write. That's just the nature. And now somebody says, well, we don't have to go along with it. That's obvious. We don't have to go along with it just because that's the way it's going. But just because there's a banking system doesn't mean that that makes it wrong. As you begin to think about your life, you think about the fact that paying online is the new norm. Many of you, that's how you do your holiday shopping now. You don't brave the crowds. You just sit in your pajamas and click, 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 and you're done. That's the norm now. Now, but how do you take that and put it into the obligations and the specifications that the Scripture gives? Just because there is a method, just because there is a way to do something, does not mean that that is the way that it has to be done. The main thing is that we keep something that we do, everything that we do it, that we make sure that we do it scripturally. So the elders have looked at the means by which we could incorporate electronic giving into this church, into worship. And they believe that when it is done right, it is something that can be done scripturally. And so this morning we just want to share with you how it can be done right. And when it is done right, those of you who might be older and looking at this and saying, what in the world is this? Why are we doing this? It will actually help some of those who are younger to be able to give like they want. I won't ask for a raise of hands. Don't raise your hands. But there are some people in this church, there are some younger Christians in this church, they don't have checks. They don't have a checking account. I want you to go back in your imagination a few hundred years in the past when churches a few hundred years ago had to decide, are we going to take checks? That's that newfangled way of paying for stuff. We're not going to take checks. That's just a piece of paper. We don't know if that's really good money or not. I want you to go back in your imagination a few hundred years back when checks were becoming the norm and the resistance there may have been. Is it okay to give by check? Is that a scriptural means to give by check? What about giving by electronic means? If it's done right, it can be scriptural. But it's essential that we keep this in mind, and this is why I emphasized this when we came through. Giving, the Bible says, has a fellowship aspect to it. It's koinonia. Our contribution has a joint participation aspect to it. So how can, or can we? Maybe we can't. How can we take something that is supposed to be done in a joint participation, in a fellowship together? How can I do that, but still do it electronically? Let's see if we can explain. Let's see if we can share that with you. Starting later today on our website, there's going to be up on the top, it's not going to have anything pointing to it. I'm going to have arrows pointing to it in just a second. But in our website later today, this little word give is going to appear up on the top right. It doesn't have flashing lights. It's not there for the world to say, oh, all this church wants is money. It's just up there on the menu bar, just with all of the other menu items that will say give. As soon as this is published later today, that option will be there. When you click on the word give, there, it will take you to another page on our website. Here's what that other page on our website says. It's going to say some of the same things we've already seen this morning. I don't know if you can read that or not. This is a blow-up of that page of our website. It says one of the five avenues of First Day of the Week worship. There are five avenues, First Day of the Week worship. One of them is specified in the New Testament, and that is giving back to the Lord. God Himself specifies both the time, first day of the week, and the place when the church is assembled together. The church is to engage in all five avenues of worship together as a body. You might sing at home, but that's different than singing here, together. You might pray at home, you better, but that's different than praying collectively. These things need to be done together as a body, recognizing the joint participation and the fellowship aspect of each avenue of worship. When we sing to one another, joint participation, fellowship. When we pray with each other. Giving is the same exact thing. Giving must maintain that. When we give, second paragraph says, all Christians should purpose in advance how much to cheerfully give to the Lord and make whatever arrangements are necessary to be prepared on the first day of the week. And this includes however you give. This should have been true way before electronic giving. Whether we give by cash or by check, we need to plan ahead of time. And purposing in our hearts needs to be done every week. Even if something is set up to be done electronically, it can become wrong if I am not purposing in my heart every week how I want to give to God. So however I choose to give, maybe you're someone who writes out your checks for an entire month. You just sit down at the beginning of the month and you've written out every one of your checks to be ready on Sunday. Well, when that next Sunday comes around, just because you have the check already written out doesn't mean you don't need to purpose in your heart and think about, this is how much I want to give to God. Why? Because that's what the Bible tells us we've got to do. So as we go through taking these biblical principles, we need to make sure that they guide us and they direct us in all that we do in our worship. So there are going to be three electronic options by which you can give. Let me explain how that works. On our website, down at the bottom of the page, there's going to be a button that's going to take you off-site to another website. And this is what that website will look like. I'll talk about that in a minute. When you go to this website, it's going to have our logo at the top. And it will give you the option to give now. Or if you want to create an account, you can sign in and create an account there. You have those two options there. And you can choose whether you just want to do it on a one-time basis or if you want to create an account so that you have your information in there. Now, this is not on our server. The information you put into this system is not kept here locally. This is kept on servers that are locked down, servers that are... If you've got your information at your bank, if you've got your information on Amazon, this is just as secure as where you've got any of your other information online. It's not here, so don't think that it's here on our servers and that if something happens at the church building, all of a sudden something's lost. This is kept as secure as anything else is going to be on the web. You come to this page, and you have an option to choose what you want to give towards. Let me zoom in on this section right here, and please listen to this part. When you get to this part, you will have an option to click on this down arrow to say, what fund do I want to give to? Now, for Sunday contribution, for first day of the week contribution, that's the one that we need to choose. When I am giving every first day of the week, I'm going to take that off for a second. When we give every first day of the week, that's what we need to select is Sunday contribution. Every first day of the week, that's what I'm giving towards. But what this tool allows us to do is to also use this for some other things. Some folks like to give towards Mission Sunday. At the end of the year, perhaps they get a bonus. Perhaps they have some money at the end of the year that they want to make a contribution at the end of the year for some tax purposes. Well, perhaps that's you. And so Mission Sunday for mission work in 2020 is an option there to give above and beyond what we give on a weekly basis. That can be used, or that can be used next year. Sometimes people later in the year say, well, I want to give this money to Mission Sunday. I missed it in January, but I have some more money I want to give, and there's an option to do that. For youth activities, sometimes parents, lots of times, parents have to pay for trips, have to pay for events. Here's a means by which parents can use that, and that money can be funneled to Josh and to those who work with our young people and make it easier for them in transferring that money. Our congregation, our elders have a unique relationship with Apologetics Press. You may not be aware of this, but since 2004, this congregation has been working very closely with Apologetics Press, and much of the support, financial support for Apologetics Press, is mailed to Palm Beach Lakes. We have a completely separate bank account for Apologetics Press. Those checks are deposited into their bank account, to which they have access to up in Montgomery. But some of those regular supporters of Apologetics Press have asked about, can they give electronically? Now those people who are sending checks here for Apologetics Press will be able to come to our website and be able to use that for their regular support rather than mailing a check, again, because that's much easier for individuals to do. Obviously, since for the last 3 months, we have been involved in the Bahamas hurricane relief efforts and all of those funds that have been coming in. And by the way, elders, is it okay for me to say how much has been given by individuals from all over this country? I just got two thumbs up, so I'm going with it. From individuals all over this country, from congregations all over this country, from this congregation, more than $800,000 has been given for relief efforts in the Bahamas. A third of that has been spent. Marsh Harbor just opened. Guess what's going to happen with the rest of that money in Marsh Harbor that was completely devastated? The rest of that $800,000 is going to be used up in a hurry. But all of that has been given by checks. There have been people asking, can we give electronically? Now they can come to our website and give electronically. But note this important part of this, and that is this statement that is also on our website. Just a reminder, and this the elders want us to know this, that for weekly contributions, please select the Sunday contribution from the drop-down menu, and if you choose to give to another of the options there on the menu, please do that in addition to your regular contribution. Not a substitute for. So in other words, when I come to give on Sunday, I don't need to just look at this and say, well, I think I'll give to the Bahamas this week. Well, you know what? I gave Sunday contribution last week. I think I'll give to Apologetics Press this week. The elders are responsible for the work of this congregation, and we individually are responsible for the work of this congregation. And the only means by which the work of this congregation can continue is for individual members to continue to give towards that. So if we choose to give to the other ones, the elders ask us to just do that over and above what we would normally do. When they put the baskets out for individual events, that's over and above what we would normally be giving in order to help something out. And by the way, some of those things that we put baskets out to collect funds for, we will still can put baskets out. But when we put baskets out for corn roast money, for one day, we'll probably put something on this menu that says corn roast for the lectureship, for those who would like to give to the corn roast electronically rather than having cash or checks. So this is a way by which we can continue to give, but to give electronically, because that's the direction that our banking systems are going so much. Now, come back to this page. Let me move this up for a second. And look, that's what we read just a moment ago, to give anything over and above. Now, how do we keep this? How do we keep the koinonia? How do we keep the fellowship? How do we keep joint participation in giving when I get on my computer and I decide how much I'm going to give? Then we come together and worship. God says we to give on the first day of the week. God says we're to give when we come together. But if I do it electronically, how can I maintain that? When you have given a check, perhaps you're one who has given a check before. When you've given a check, what is a check? Essentially, it's a piece of paper, right? It's a piece of paper by which you are authorizing your bank to give to the church whatever you have specified there. You are authorizing something to be done. So when the baskets are passed and you put this piece of paper in the basket, are you giving? Absolutely, 100% you're giving. Are you giving to the Lord and His work? Yes, you are. Are you participating? Is there joint participation? Is there fellowship in giving? Yes, because when that basket is passed, I'm putting something in the basket, and the person next to me may have put cash in, I'm putting a piece of paper in, but we gave together. What about somebody who gives electronically? Somebody who gives electronically, that basket is passed, and here's somebody who gives cash, here's somebody who gives check, and it zips right by somebody who gave electronically, and somebody looks down and says, oh, you're not giving today, huh? Well, it's nobody's business how much you gave. It's nobody's business if you're giving. But what happens when those baskets go past an elder, and an elder doesn't put it? What happens when a basket goes past a deacon, and a deacon doesn't put it? What happens? That may send a message to somebody, oh, well, maybe they gave electronically, or maybe they're just using electronically as an excuse. And now all sorts of craziness is going to go through somebody's mind. Right? And you can't control craziness in somebody's mind, by the way. All right. How do we keep fellowship in giving if we do it electronically? Here's the deal. If you can't keep fellowship in giving, if you're giving electronically, you should not give electronically. If a church cannot maintain biblical specifications in electronic giving, they should not be giving electronically. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something if you can't do it scripturally. So how can we maintain that? Here's what the elders would like to do. Starting next week, actually starting tomorrow, what's going to happen is there are going to be some little green slips of paper that are going to be placed in the card rack, the attendance card rack. These little green slips of paper are going to be placed right there in the card rack. And it's simple. It's just a place for me to put my name, David Sproul, put the date, whatever today is, put the amount, none of your business, and to fold that over. Sorry, I got to unfold it for a second. David and Tracy Sproul, date, none of your business. All right, now I fixed that. Whoops. All right, I take that green piece of paper out. I write on there, what does it say? It says, on this first day of the week, I have personally authorized an electronic transaction to give to the Lord and to His work at Palm Beach Lakes in the amount of that amount. I fold it over, and when the basket comes, somebody might give cash, somebody might put a piece of paper in that's a check, piece of paper that is authorizing the bank to give to the church a certain amount, and I place in the basket a piece of paper that says I have already authorized my bank to give to the church a certain amount. And what are we all doing? We are all giving to the Lord together in fellowship in koinonia. So if you choose to utilize electronic giving, the elders ask that you utilize these little green slips of paper each Sunday. Not as a show, not to show off, but so that we can do it together. So that we can participate in this together. A couple final things. Let me go back up on this page. We said that there are three methods available for giving. One is you can go to our website and click on this big button that's right down at the bottom, and it will take you off-site to the Fellowship One Giving website, which is the service that we are using for this. Or you can download the app. And there is a link. There will be later today when we publish this page. There's a link there for the iPhone and the Android. There's a link there that will take you directly to. There's another one of these apps that's called Fellowship One. It's not the same thing. This is the app you want, the one with the teal background. If you follow the link from our website, it will take you to this. But this is the app that you want if you're going to utilize it as an app. Ushers, if you want to go ahead and pass out these little green, everything that I've said about electronic giving is going to be on these little green sheets and as the ushers pass them out. But pay attention to me and not to these green sheets. This is the app that you want if you're going to give by app. The app will work the same way that the website works, and you can actually use them interchangeably. You can use the app or you can use the website. They're both the same thing, because once you log into the app, it's going to look like the website, and it's going to give you the same drop-down menu options. It's going to be and you can set up an account, all the same thing on the app, but some of you would rather not do it on the computer. You can do it on your app. And by the way, if you do it on the app, You can give right here in worship. You can sit right here in worship and use your mobile device for a good purpose during worship, and you could actually give right there from your seat as a part of worship if you use the app. The other option, the third option for giving, is you can give by text. And the phone number is on the green sheet that you are being given. The phone number is also on the bottom of this green slip that will be on the back in the pews as well. Phone number is on our website here. And you just text to that phone number. You got to set up an account the first time. But it is super easy to give. It is so easy to give that you open up your text message. You go to what did David call this? David called this his PBL giving, I think is what David called this. But as soon as David finds the right app, he comes on here, he types the number, his amount, click send, and I just gave. It can be that easy. And that's something that I can do sitting in the pew. And that's something I can do and fill out my green sheet. On the back of this green sheet that you are receiving but you're not looking at yet, on the back of that green sheet is more information about the text giving, if that is an option that you would prefer to utilize. I need to look at my notes to see if I have forgotten anything of particular import to say, because there was a lot of details to give out today, and I wanted to make sure that everything has been covered. If you have any questions about any of this, please don't hesitate to ask your questions. Please don't hesitate to talk to one of the elders about any of this, and they will be happy to address any of your concerns about this. The Bible says as Christians, we are blessed. The Bible says as Christians, we are blessed. You're talking about the report? Here's what's going to happen with electronic giving. On electronic giving, if you set up an account, which would probably be the recommended way to do it, but if you set up an account, you will be able to go in and look at your history. If you choose to, let me get back to this for a second. Let me just review this. You see that this is an option. Making the gift recurring is an option. If you choose that option, remember, we're supposed to purpose each week to give. So don't neglect to purpose and plan ahead. Even if you choose to make it recurring and set it up to set up for so many weeks that you want to give. But when you go into this option and you're in your account, you will be able to look at your history. You'll be able to see what you have given. And it will tell you how you've given it, what method you used, what account, what fund you gave it towards. That will all be in your history. But at the end of the year, here's something that would be very helpful. When you set this up, make sure that you put your email address in when you set up the account, because at the end of the year, we will email out from this system a report to you of everything that you have given. Up to this date, I know this is a lot of information. Up to this date, IRS has only required the church to record checks that were given in the amount of $250 or more. So if you received a statement from the church prior to this year, if you received a statement from the church, a year-end giving statement from the church, it would only have on it anything that you gave for $250 or more. If you didn't get a statement, it's because you didn't give $250 or more, but those were IRS regulations. But with this system, no matter what amount that you give, it will be recorded in the system, and there will be emails going out to you in January, and those emails will detail everything that you have given. If you continue to give by check, the church will continue to only record the $250 or more, and that's what you will receive from the church by check. But this system, you will get an email that will record everything that you give for. Is that what you're talking about? Everything that you give. There's a way to see the history, but not you'll get a report by email. The Bible says that we are blessed as Christians. We're blessed to serve Him. We're blessed to worship Him. Interestingly, Jesus says there's something that we're more blessed to be able to do sometimes, and that's to give. We don't like to talk about giving. We don't like to hear sermons about giving. It's a very personal matter. But may God look in our hearts. And may God see a heart that doesn't give because we have to. May God see a heart that gives because we want to. And wants to give more when He blesses us more. What a joy it is to be a Christian. I'm thankful for our elders who have been looking at this, have been wanting to utilize this option, but would only do it if it could be done in a scriptural manner. I'm thankful that they would only do it if that was the case. Again, if you've got any questions, don't hesitate to ask them. We've talked about things that are more blessed this morning, but there is the most blessed part of your life. And the most blessed part of your life is if you've given, not money, you, your life, yourself, if you've given yourself to the Lord. Have you done that? Have you given your life to Him? Have you turned yourself over to Him? There are things that we want. We want forgiveness. We want salvation. We want to be in His family. We want the promise of heaven. That's what we want. And God says, if that's what you want, then there's something you need to give, and that's yourself. How do I give myself to the Lord? How do I become a Christian? The Bible says, makes it very plain, that I need to believe that Jesus is God's Son. I need to repent of the sins that are in my life, turn my life in the direction of God, confess the faith that is in my heart, and to be baptized, fully immersed in water, so that at that moment and not before I might receive the forgiveness of sins, because the blood of Jesus cleansed me not before but right then from my sins. If you've never been baptized so that you could call on the Lord to forgive you, you can do that today. There's water here, there's warm water here, there's garments here, there's towels here. Everything's ready for you. If you're ready to give your life to Him today, to be added to His church, have your name registered in heaven, and then to do what He calls upon us to do, not just give on the first day of the week, not to just give money, but to present myself as a living sacrifice, giving to Him my all every day of my life. If you are not a faithful Christian this morning, can we help you with that? We plead with you to come right now as together we stand and sing.